This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. The new movie, Lovely and Amazing, is a comedy that considers women's self-consciousness about their looks and the real and imagined pressures to be thin and beautiful. In a few minutes, we'll meet one of the film's stars, Catherine Keener. First, we talk with the writer and director, Nicole Holofcener. She also made the independent film Walking and Talking, a comedy about relationships. Lovely and Amazing is about a 50-something mother, her two 30-something daughters, and her adopted 8-year-old African-American daughter. The mother, played by Brenda Blethyn, thinks she's too heavy, so she's having liposuction. The African-American daughter wants her hair straightened. The daughter, played by Catherine Keener, thinks her husband doesn't find her attractive anymore. The other daughter, played by Emily Mortimer, is an actress trying to make it in Hollywood, and in her work, looks really do count. She's very thin and quite pretty, yet she worries that her arms are flabby and she's not attractive enough. Her insecurities seem justified when she's turned down for a role by a director who doesn't find her sexy. But when she tries to talk with her boyfriend about this, he's not concerned. The boyfriend is played by James LaGrosse.
I think you're sexy.
Can you give me a job?
I can have sex with you.
Don't joke, this is hideous.
The profession is hideous.
What?
I have to work.
You don't have a lot of sympathy for me, do you? So, since I chose this profession, I shouldn't feel bad when I get rejected.
This is so boring.
Boring?
Elizabeth, it's not personal. Maybe you should date an actor or something, someone who goes through the same things as you.
You don't want to see me anymore.
I don't think I can give you what you want.
And what is it that you think I want?
You want a girlfriend. Someone you can talk about your upper arms with.
That's so mean.
Nicole Holofcener, do you think both sides are right in this scene?
I do think both sides are right. I'm glad that you can see that. I think that she is completely justified in feeling hurt and humiliated and exploited. She was all those things. And at the same time, she is tediously boring. And I think if she hadn't talked the day before about her flabby arms, maybe today he could hear about this rejection and not be tired of it. But it's the 10th time she's talked about this. And so he can't gauge really when something is catastrophic or not. It's kind of all catastrophic. And he's had it with her. I don't feel like he's the bad guy. And I don't feel like she's crazy to feel that upset. I think they're really ill-suited is really the ultimate thing. That's what I'm saying, is that these people do not belong together. They might be fabulous with somebody else, but not together.
Why did you want to make a movie about the insecurities women have about their looks?
It certainly didn't come from any kind of theoretical or cerebral place in me. Like, I was interested in these ideas. I was much more interested in the topics from a personal point of view. I just felt compelled to, lay out for everyone to see just how obsessed I can be with my appearance and everyone else I know. I thought that it was really interesting how intelligent women with full lives and attractive enough bodies and attractive enough faces spend an inordinate amount of time obsessing about our looks.
What are your issues?
God forbid my body look too womanly, you know, the hips, the butt, the thing. And I'm a relatively thin person. I mean, I have a fine figure, but I guess we look at those magazines and think we should have boyish figures. That's a whole other kettle of fish, right? I've got a nice fine nose on my face, and I look like a real person, you know, so I have insecurities about my flaws.
Do you see the women in this movie, and do you see yourself as obsessing on physical appearance, even though intellectually you know better?
Absolutely. Of course I know better. And I think that there's a real schism in many parts of our lives where you know better, and that doesn't make any difference. We know better not to go out with that person. We know better not to take this job. But our hearts and our insecurities and whatever has screwed us up from the very start is sometimes leading us. And that's what I thought was true for these women.
The reality is that although you don't want to be judged on your looks or have people judged on their looks, as the director of the film, in a visual medium, you are judging people on their looks, even if you're judging them in standards that aren't the typical, mm-hmm. you know, glamour magazine kind of standard. So it must really get to you.
It does. Auditioning people for the audition scene was just crazy. You know, they were reading the audition scene, feeling exposed, feeling like a piece of meat, and there I was judging them, thinking, ah, she's too pretty. Ah, she's too thin. Ah, she's too fat. You know, the same stuff. You can't help it. I'm casting a movie. I've got to find the right person. It's, you know, there's a lot of irony in it, and for me personally, and I was just conscious of it all. I really couldn't make sense of it or figure out whether I was doing a right thing or a wrong thing.
There's a nude scene in your movie, but it's not meant to be a sexy nude scene. Emily Mortimer, who plays the actress after she's rejected for not being sexy enough in an audition, she has an affair with an actor who she auditioned with, and she gets out of bed naked and asks the actor who she's just slept with to appraise her body, to go over every detail of it and basically rate it.
Mm-hmm.
Was it hard to convince Emily Mortimer to do that scene?
No, it was not hard to convince Emily to do that scene at all. She was chomping at the bit. I think she was glad when it was over with. She read the script and understood how integral that scene was to the script, that it was very much a part of it. It was not exploitive. It would not be sexy. And just she understood how it would help her character grow and how necessary it was for her arc. So she was ready and willing. And she knew we couldn't, you know, fool around with, you know, over the shoulder and a sort of a half breast. Or she was like, no, I got to be standing there. And I think personally she was challenged by it as well. She's an actress. And with a certain amount of insecurity and not thankfully as much as Elizabeth has. She was looking forward to it. A lot of actors who wanted to play the part were actually looking forward to that scene. Some were not. Some said, I would love to play this character, but I can't stand there naked. And usually it was well-known actresses that felt that way. They've already had the download experience, I think, of having been on the internet and stuff, and they didn't like it.
I think people are more prurient when it comes to a famous person taking off their clothes than they are about an actress who's still in the process of getting known.
Yeah, and it was part of my decision to cast someone who was less known as well. I mean, I'm usually drawn to faces that are new to me, not ones that I've seen over and over and over again, which is not to say so many of those actors are great. I just thought, for somebody standing there naked, you can't be saying, oh, my God, there's so-and-so's breasts. It's just already the scene will take you out of reality so easily. I didn't want that to be another one of those reasons.
Nicole Holofcener wrote and directed the new film Lovely and Amazing. This is Fresh Air.